You are listening to the Stetson Students Podcast, where we post all of the series and messages from our student ministry. We are a ministry connected to Stetson Baptist Church, where we are for DeLand and for Jesus. If you would like to learn anything more about our ministries, please check out our social medias or go to StetsonBaptistChurch.org.
To come in November, but she said, surprise, I don't want to do that. So she came in October, and it was actually on a Sunday. My wife even came to church that day, and she was like, man, I just feel like there's some pain. And we were like, well, that could be a sign of something. And she's like, no. And then we got to later in the day, and she was like, yep, definitely time to go. And so we went and had our baby girl. And man, what's really cool is you got to, as we get to parent her and really see her grow. And she does things now that I catch on to and that we catch on to that we find very fun and that are very cute. My wife was even telling me about a story today. We dropped her off into the nursery so that she could be here. And right when she dropped her off, she makes the cutest and most perfect sad face. I'm talking like you look at her and you're like, that's like the emoji, like the full frown just. And she does it so perfectly that it's almost cute. You're like, I don't like that you're sad, but I kind of like that it's so perfect. And then she starts crying, and you really don't like that. But she also does, she's starting a new thing where she will make eye contact with me and Kate, my wife, and you can tell, like, she knows us. And then she starts making this weird gurgling sound, and she smiles, and it's really cute, but you're like, if anybody else did, if you ever did it to me, I'd be like, get away, you're weird. But because she's my daughter and she's like 3 months old, it's okay and it's good. But even like going back to the sad face, obviously the sad face usually leads to tears and crying, and we don't like that. But what it is for us is we are able to take comfort in her telling us something is not right. I'm not okay with the situation right now. Usually you have to go through the systems of like, oh, are you hungry? Are you hungry? Do you need to be fed? Then it's do you need to be changed? Like, are you dirty? Is your diaper dirty? And then it's are you uncomfortable in some sort of way? What can we do to make you okay? And when she's okay, whether it's she got fed or her diaper was changed or she was gassy and she just had to fart, things like that. Once those things take place, she becomes content again. She becomes happy. She starts looking at you. She starts doing the gurgling thing. She even laughed at my wife the other day. That, man, when you see that, you're like, this is so worth it. I want another baby now. I'm just being honest. But what's really cool about that is as her parents, we get to see her calling out to us in certain ways. And there are things that we know about. Like, just because my baby doesn't cry, like maybe she didn't cry, doesn't mean I'm never going to need to feed her again. Or maybe for some reason she's got a dirty diaper, but she's not crying. That doesn't mean I don't need to change her. It's good for me to hear you know that you can respond to me in a way that you need help or that you need to talk to me. Or even when you're just happy to see me and you do the little gurgling thing, it's really good for me to hear you communicate with me. And what this has actually helped me learn a lot about is how beautiful and important prayer is to us. Because truly, this is like our prayers to God. It may not mean that our prayers, we need to pray for him to know what our situation is, because he truly knows everything about you and the situations that you're going through and what your life looks like and what you truly need, he knows. But man, it's so good for the Lord to hear us pray to him, and he wants us to talk to him. Prayer truly does bring gladness and joy to God as our Father. But also, prayer is important. Prayer is vital and very important for us as Christians. If you know me, I'm a big stats guy. I love to look at stats. And so I was just thinking through, what are the stats for prayer? Some of them are this, that less than 40% of young people say that prayer is a daily thing they do. And then even less than that, less than 60% say it's something that they even do during the week. I see you looking at the screen, so it should be already up there. Yeah, this is crazy to me. Because you see these claims, certainty in God's existence, importance of your faith, and consistency in church attendance. And what you see is that if you pray daily, your number is a lot larger, and it just keeps getting smaller based on how often you pray. So praying daily is the largest number in every single one. So if you pray daily, you have a greater chance of having certainty in God's existence. And you would, if you pray daily, you would say that your faith is more is the most important thing, or you would say it is a very important thing to you. And then your consistency and even church attendance drives up drastically. But as you go down the line to weekly, monthly, and seldom to never, obviously you see the percent of those things being true drop drastically. And so what we see with these stats, and what you see really, just, you don't even need stats to really know this. You probably already know this if you are a Christian in the room, is you see that our prayer life is vital for our spiritual health. Like, we need to have a good spiritual health, we need to have a good prayer life. And as we walk through Ephesians, last week you saw, as we talked about, as Paul really showed us, that we need to start our relationship with God with praise, and how God is worthy of our praise and our worship, and how important that is. The next thing he jumps into, almost as he jumps from this, we need to praise the Lord, is he goes right into the element of prayer. And really what he looks at is he tries to answer the question, what should our prayers look like? What should our prayers look like? And he does this by kind of talking to the Ephesians, okay? So if you don't have a Bible, we have one under your chair. You can go and grab it. We're going to be in Ephesians 1. Also, let me go ahead and, as you're pulling that up and flipping there, I want to let you know, man, it's awesome if you're taking notes tonight. It's even cool if you're taking notes on your phone. I want you to know, man, your phones can be such a distraction. And so what we have decided to do is we've been providing notepads and pens if you really want to take some notes. Man, so if that's you in the room, feel free to raise your hand and an adult leader will bring you a notepad and a pen so that you can take some notes tonight. And if you're looking for a notebook, we even have some notebooks in the back. All we ask is that you please use them and don't just take them and lose them. So again, we're going to be in Ephesians 1. And so as Paul tells us what should our prayers look like, he starts with really telling us that our prayers should show thankfulness for God and thankfulness for his people. Our prayers should show thankfulness to God and thankfulness to his people. In verse 15 is where we're picking up. Paul says this. So he's just came off this. We need to give our praise and our worship to God. He then says this. For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love towards all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. So in this beautiful climactic moment, as he's saying, like, man, because of our praise and our worship to God, he then goes, and because of this, for this reason, because we give God praise, I want you to know I have not stopped thanking God for you and giving him thanks in my prayers. And what we see here is really two things. First, we see that our thankfulness is not, it is to thank God for Christians around us. So our thankfulness in our prayers, when we pray, we should have thankfulness to God. And one of those things we should have thankfulness to God for is for Christians around us. Right from the get-go, Paul says, man, I have not stopped thanking God for you and for your faith. And we talked about this last week, but it's so, so important that you know this. Our faith is a relational faith. What I mean by that is you were never meant to walk the Christian walk alone. I'm sorry, man, we're not taking questions, but you can ask me after, all right, buddy? So our walk with Christ was never meant to be done alone, but it was meant to be done along with people. And part of that is we need to be praying for those people that we're going along life with. I think sometimes when we think about praying for people, we usually think of, when something bad happens in somebody's life, I'm going to pray for them, right? Like somebody comes to me and says, you know, whether it's in small group or just in life, and say, man, I have a prayer request, or, hey, man, this bad thing happened to me, or this thing's happening in my family or my life. And we usually respond with, man, I'm going to be praying for you. Man, don't stop that. That's awesome. That's a great thing. Don't hear me say that that's a bad thing. We should pray for people when something is happening in their life that needs prayer. But that shouldn't be our only reason to pray for people. Man, we should pray for our friends around us because they're friends in the faith. We should pray for other people because they are chasing after Christ, and that is a good thing, and we want them to continue to do that. That's what Paul is saying here. He's not saying something bad is happening in their life. He's saying, because you're walking so faithful in Christianity and sharing the gospel so well and believing it so well, I thank God for you. I literally, in my prayers, thank God for you. Whether it's because they're an example or because he wants them to continue to do so, we don't know, but we know that he thanked God for them. And we need to do the same. We need to, in our prayers, thank God for the Christians that are around us. But not just that, but also we need to thank God for who he is. For who he is and what he has done. And it's not in these verses, but what you're going to see through the rest of what we read tonight is a lot about what God has done for you and what God has done for the people he's writing to, but certainly us as well. Listen to me, you have been given a direct line to the King of the universe. Like, that is wild. Like, you can literally talk to the God who is over everything. He has given you open lines of communication. And before you look at me and say, man, Nate, I don't know if I have anything to thank God for who he is for. Like, I just can't think of something. I'll give you something. Man, if you're a Christian in this room, you've been brought from death to life. Truly, you've been brought from death to life. Hey, buddy, we don't really speak during this time, if you don't mind. Thank you, buddy. So let me give you a good example, or maybe even an analogy or story, if you will, of what this looks like. So when I was thinking of what does it look like for us to be brought from death to life, I thought about this. Like, say I or you were taking this trip, right? You know, spring break's coming up. Maybe you're thinking of, man, I'm taking a trip with my family. What if I took a trip or you took a trip and decided for some reason I want to go to the desert? I want to see what is a desert like. And you're going to the desert, and for some reason you said, you know what? I don't really want to bring any water. I kind of want to just go no water, even though that's like rule number one, always bring water if you're going to a dry area. And then you get there, and for some reason, you're like, I don't really want to bring my phone with me. I kind of want to just go just me, myself, and maybe like a journal or a notebook. And you get out into the desert, and you're traveling for, you know, a few hours, and you go, everything looks the same, and I don't remember how I got here. And so instantly you realize, man, I'm lost. And I have nowhere to go. I have no water to drink, and I have no directions or way of contact. I'm in this area, and what's probably coming for me is death, certain death, because I don't know where I'm at, and I don't have the resources to figure it out, and I don't have the resources to keep me going. And then magically somebody comes and says, hey, actually, man, I saw you doing that, and I decided to come after you because I knew that this would happen, and I know the way back. And I'm going to carry you all the way back to your car where there's water and there is sense of direction. Man, that's what Christ and God has done for you. He has brought you from this time of, man, I was dead in my sin, and now I've been brought to life. If anything, if you're lacking anything to be thankful to God for, thank him for that. Thank him for that. That is always something to be thankful for. Is what he has done for us and who he is to us. So, man, we need to be thankful to God for who he is, but also for the people around us. But also, we need to make honest requests in our prayers. Our prayers need to be ones of honest request. Picking up in verse 17, he says this. He says, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in knowledge of him. Having the eyes of your heart enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his great might, that he who worked in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. I know that is a lot. I mean, that is a mouthful, and there's a lot in there. But really what he's saying is, look, your requests are open. You can really, truly ask God whatever you want. And you can ask him for whatever you want. When I was little, I'm not kidding, I would be losing a video game, and I would pause the game, and I would pray, God, help me win this game. Usually it was 2K. It usually never happened. I'm just going to tell you, if you pray that, it's probably not going to happen. Man, you can pray and ask whatever you want, but don't miss out on what the most valuable thing is. Don't miss out on what the most valuable thing is in your prayers. When you are requesting, there are requests that are so much more valuable than what we may think is what we need to be requesting. In a sense, there's things that we need and there's things that we want. And what we need is much more valuable than what we want. You can request all that you want, but we really need to make sure that we're also, more than anything, requesting what we need. And I'm going to tell you, what we need, as Paul laid it out, is two things. One, we need to request to know God better. We need to request to know God better. I think it's wild to me as I'm reading the Ephesians, or as we're reading the Ephesians, and kind of putting yourself in the mind of where they're at. So Paul is looking at them and saying, man, I want you to know the wisdom that God has for you. Man, I pray that you know all these things. You know who God is. And you truly, what he's saying is, I pray that you know God better. But what really would have to take place for them is somebody would have to come teach them what is better. Like, they would have to teach them who God is. Because they didn't have this. They didn't have this all written out. And what's so crazy is we do. Man, you have a miracle in the palm of your hand called the Bible. Some of you have a miracle, the Bible, on your phone. And you can carry it literally everywhere you go. Man, you want to know how we can know God better? It's right here. It's through this. It's through his word. Man, so as he is praying that he would know God better, there are some special things that would have to happen. For us, we need to pray that we'd know God better. Maybe it's not, man, Lord, bring me better knowledge of you through this miraculous thing. Maybe it's, God, give me the desire to read your word. Give me the endurance to read it every day. Give me the boldness to carry it out and read it amongst my friends. Like, things like that may be what we need to pray. I love what somebody said, this author named J. Garrett Kell said about the Bible. He said this. He said, open your Bible, watch his holiness humble you, his wisdom comfort you, his beauty captivate you, and his love astound you. I mean, what beautiful truth that lies in his word. You can truly find his holiness, his wisdom, his beauty, and his love all encaptured in this one book. Yet for many of us, if we're honest, the only time we open it is on a Wednesday night or a Sunday morning. And that's what we need. We need to know God better. Our request, the most important thing, or one of the most important things that we need to be requesting of God, is that we would know him better. Whether that's through, man, Lord, I just need you to give me the spirit to know you better, or I need you to show me who you are. So we need to request to know God better, but we also need to request to know the blessing of the gospel better. So Paul goes straight from kind of saying all these characteristics of God that he prays that we would know, right into the gospel and saying, man, I pray that you guys would know the gospel to its core. We talked about this on Sunday a little bit. So man, if you would love to have you on Sunday mornings, here's my little pitch to you. We talked about this a little bit, but many of us in our Christian walks, we come to know Jesus and we come to follow him, and instantly we think, man, I need to move past the gospel and on to something else. And that's never true. We must never surpass the gospel or try to move on from the gospel. But instead, we need to move deeper into the gospel. Colossians puts it this way. It says, if indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard. So it says, man, as you continue in your faith, do not shift away from the thing that brought you to it, but instead stay driven by it. Listen, true change never comes from moving away from the gospel, but moving deeper into it, finding the beauty that it is. There's never a time that we don't need to be focusing on the gospel. I once heard somebody put it this way: we never graduate from the gospel. We never move past it. We never go to something better, but instead we always need to be driven more deeper into it. So our request to God should be to know him better, the most important ones, and then also to know the blessing of the gospel better, going deeper and deeper into it every single day. Like I said from the start, man, you can request whatever you want, truly. Like, it's not bad to make just regular requests for God. It's not like everything has to be, man, I got to know you better and I got to know your gospel better. You can request everyday things. But just make sure that the most important and the thing that happens the most in your prayers is that we request to know God better and we request to know his blessing of the gospel better. All right, so man, we need to be thankful for those around us as well as himself. Our prayers need to be full of honest requests. And then finally, our prayers need to be praising God for Jesus. We need to be praising God for Jesus in our prayers. As we finish this section, Paul says this in verse 21. Actually, I'm going to go back to verse 20. It says that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Man, so really what we see is Paul looks at us and says, man, we need to be praising God for Jesus in our prayers. And when he does it, he kind of breaks it into three things. We need to be praising God for Jesus because of his resurrection. This is his first one. Because of his resurrection. Listen to me. Sin and death has been defeated only by the resurrection of Jesus. It was only because he was raised that me and you have the opportunity to be free from sin and death and shame. It is only because he was resurrected. I love, there was a pastor, S. Lewis Johnson, he put it this way. The resurrection was the Father's amen to the Son's it is finished. So as Jesus is hanging on the cross, taking on the punishment for sin and death for us, and he says, it is finished, the Father says, amen, by raising him again in 3 days, saying, it truly is finished. I hold the keys to all of it. So we need to praise God constantly for the resurrection because it is the only opportunity that we have away from sin and death, is because of his resurrection. But also, he then goes on to praise God for Jesus for his resurrection, but also praise him for his enthronement. Listen to me. Jesus was not just raised from the dead and made alive again, but he was then made king over all. He was made king over all. What that means is he's over everything. For us and for you and me, that means there is nothing too big in your life that is too big for Jesus. There is nothing that you're struggling with, that you're tempted by, that you feel like you're succumbing to or is just making your life worse, that is too big for Jesus. He is over it all. There is nothing that at the end of the day is going to be too big for Jesus where he can't handle it, but he can handle everything. And we need to praise God for that he has been enthroned and put over everything. And lastly, Paul says, and praise him for his resurrection, praise him for his enthronement, and then praise him for his headship. Praise him for his headship. What this means is his headship is, he says that he's been put as head over the church and the church's body. Obviously, the church is us. What that means is, listen, as we're coming to a closing point, I promise. Jesus did not do what he did to hold on to it. He didn't live the perfect life, die the death that we deserve, and raise from the dead just to show us, look what I can do. But he did it to share it with you. He did it to share it with you. The Lord's headship, hey man, can you go sit down for me? Okay, well, I need you to go sit down for me, all right, buddy? Or go see Miss Kathy, all right? She can answer your question for you. Okay, she can answer your question for you. So, listen, Jesus did what he did not to hold on to it, but to share it with us. Jesus is over it all, and what he does is he says, I don't want to hold that, but I want to share it with my people. Because he's not just some anarchist or this God who just, we're just kind of pawns in his scheme. But he wants to treat you as his heavenly father. He wants to be a father to you, and he wants us to be children to him. And so the question for you and for me is, do you know God as your heavenly father? When you think about your relationship with God, is it, man, I am a son and daughter of the king? For some of you in the room, your answer is, yes, I am. I've given my life to Jesus, and I know God is my heavenly Father. For you, it's the three things, man. What is your response? It is to pray. It is to pray with thankfulness to others, It is to pray with honest request, and it's to praise God for Jesus. And that's what I want you to walk out of this room with, saying, man, I know God is my Heavenly Father, and I get to do these things, and I get to do them with joy in my heart. But for others in the room, your answer to that question is no. Nate, I'm going to be honest. I don't know God as my Heavenly Father. I don't know what that looks like. Man, here's what I offer you. Come talk to me, because I'd love to show you what that is. Because to know God as your Heavenly Father is eternal joy and eternal freedom and eternal rest. And I want you to have that. Everybody in this room wants you to have that.
Thank you for listening. We hope you have a great week and that you are a light for Jesus. Grace and peace.